John chapter 1, as we look this morning at the light of the world. You probably all know who the light of the world is. We're going to look at the scriptures this morning, lay them out before us before we look into them, beginning in chapter 1 and verse 4. Follow, please, in your own Bible or on the wall. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Light. How powerful is the light that even on a dark and dreary day where we have clouds around us that are dropping on us rain, we know that the light is still shining. Now, the scientists tell us that this light is luminous energy. It is radiant energy, as electronic magnetic energy. And some of you know that the speed of this light is intense. It is 186,282 miles per second. How quick is that? It is beyond our comprehension how fast light is. It's not static. It's not fixed. It's moving. Some have referred to light as a wave. And if it is a wave, in a spiritual sense, Jesus Christ is a wave, a spiritual wave that comes to us and knocks us over. He hits us in our soul and wakes us up. There was a time we could read the Bible or hear a message, and it didn't even impact us. And then all of a sudden, God's Spirit does something in us, and we read the Word, we hear the Word, and it changes us. There's something we see in it that we never saw before. That is the power of the light that is in Jesus Christ. This power moves at an intense speed and brings about marvelous transformation. But as you look at your text, beginning in verse 4, it tells us that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You might remember that as we began the study in John a few weeks ago, that we referenced that John begins his gospel just like Genesis opens, in the beginning. And you know that in the account of creation, God created light. And so here John continues that whole thought that here God is bringing light, and that light is Christ. What's interesting about John's gospel, different than the other three, is that John is going to give us the supernatural message of Christmas. As you look at John chapter 1, you'll notice that it's the story of Christmas without the usual suspects. There's no Mary. There's no Joseph. You don't see any angels. There's no shepherds. There's no manger. John is giving us the story of Christmas behind the scenes, so to speak, the spiritual perspective of it, that Jesus is God in human flesh, that all that God is now in a person that he will tell us later in his first epistle, we've seen, we've heard, and we've even handled, we've touched him. He is God in flesh. You know, you couldn't get it that close to God before. In the Old Testament scene, God was far from the people. In fact, we are studying on Wednesday the Ascent Psalms. And the Ascent Psalms are the songs of the people of God as they would go up to the Holy Mount to worship God in Jerusalem. There's a theology of preparation in the Old Testament. You don't just barge into the presence of God. You can't just walk into the presence of God in the Old Testament and say, "Here I am, God. How you doing?" Didn't work. In fact, as far as the scene in the tabernacle and the temple was concerned, it was only the high priest who once a year on the Day of Atonement was permitted into the Holy of Holies. And even that was after a long process of preparation, of cleansing, of getting right, of being able to approach. And if you might remember, there was a rope wrapped around his waist so that if he was not accepted by God and he was slain, they'd be able to pull him out. The approach of God in the Old Testament was far different. But now, he shows up to us in a unique way. This is, as I've said, John's version of the Christmas story. And around Christmas, we sing a lot of great Christmas carols. And some of them have some wonderful theology in them. Charles Wesley wrote one. We'll reference it right now. Charles Wesley wrote, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And in that, he said, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see." You see, God came to us in a person, but in fleshly form, his glory had to be veiled. For if we saw God in all of his glory, we couldn't look. So he had to be veiled. Hail the incarnate deity, that's taking on flesh, God, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. If you would, I'd like you to look at three passages of Scripture. They're all in chapter 2, or you can follow on the wall. It's Philippians 2, Hebrews 2, Colossians 2. So stick your finger in three passages, or look up here if you'd like. But these verses talk about how God came and dwelt among us. In Philippians 2, verse 7, Paul would say, "But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in likeness of men." That phrase, "made himself of no reputation," means that what Jesus was willing to do was come to this earth in complete humility without any recognition. You know, there were no banners and flares and no big recognition that this is the Son of God. There were a couple of angels who were, the shepherds were impressed by that. Herod was a little afraid of this new king when he heard about it from the three wise guys or wise men or astrologers or whatever you want to refer to him as. But they didn't know. Because what Jesus was doing was he was veiling his glory. This phrase of no reputation in the Greek means that he emptied himself of all of his glory. He didn't show up as who he was. If he did, he should have been born in a palace. Instead, he's born with a bunch of farm animals. Hebrews 2, verse 14, "Inasmuch then as children have taken flesh and blood," and that's you and me, we were born of flesh and blood, that's how we came into this earth, "he himself," Jesus Christ himself, "likewise shared in the same." Jesus was born flesh and blood so that he might destroy the power of death through the devil. Colossians 2:10, "In him dwells, abides all the fullness," not part of God, but all of God is in Jesus. And so notice back in our text, John 1, verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Have you ever walked into a dark room where someone has moved the furniture? And you found out that you couldn't make it around too well. Spiritually speaking, that's where many people are. They are in utter darkness, and they're bumping their head, and they're hitting their shins, and some of them are falling over. The light, however, overcomes the darkness. Think about 2 Corinthians 4:4. Paul would say, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." The impact of the light upon the darkness is that when the light shows up, the darkness disappears. And that has happened in your life and mine when we responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God took us out of the family of darkness where our father spiritually was the devil and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of the Light, his son. And so notice where we were and where people are today who have not received Christ. They're blinded spiritually. They can't see. We might share with them our testimony, share with them the glory of Christ, and they just don't get it. They look at us as if they're looking right through us because they're blinded to it. John would later write this in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8. He would say, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you. Notice this, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. If you have come to Christ, the darkness is passing away. Amen? We don't live in it anymore. Darkness is ignorance to truth, to reality, to who Jesus is. That's not where we are. And we live in this world where there's a spiritual battle going on, and it's mostly in our minds. And the world is trying to impact our mind with false truth, with, we'll say, fake news. We'll say it that way. They're trying to influence us with things that aren't true, that are in the realm of darkness. And we fight against it. We resist it. But the light overcomes the darkness. The light overpowers the darkness. I want you to come with me to chapter 10. We're going to eventually get to chapter 10. But I want you to see the impact of the light of Jesus Christ on darkness. He gave this one verse right here, the impact of Jesus Christ over darkness. He says in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they have it more abundantly. The spiritual thief is the devil. What does the devil want to do? He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to ruin everything in your whole realm, your family, your friends, your work. And you know what? He's winning every once in a while. There are many people who are succumbing to the thief's power, who are giving in to the thief who wants to just take their very life away from them. Sometimes I have to stand at a funeral of a young person who gave in. And their life was taken very, very quickly because the power of drugs or whatever it might be killed them. The thief is the one who does that. But Jesus is the one who is greater than the darkness. We don't have to sit in fear of the power of darkness. John would write this later in his first epistle. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? Where there is a power in us through the Holy Spirit where we live victorious over the darkness. Remember what John said, the darkness is passing away and the true light is now shining. And so he tells us that. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. And there was a time that I was in darkness, but when the light of Christ hit me as a wave, it just overcame and I saw. But look at verse 6. John is now going to introduce us to the essence of gospel ministry. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And so I'm going to put up here for you a painting that Michelangelo did. Of John the Baptist, very famous painting. You can see it in a lot of museums that you might visit. And what John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, is telling us right here is I'm going to tell you now about this other fella, John, the baptizer, we'll refer to him, and that he was a witness. Now, the word witness here is a very interesting word. Most of us know that Jesus has left us here to be witnesses. Acts 1:8, and you shall be witnesses wherever we go. We know we're supposed to be witnesses. But this word witness, in the etymology of this word, becomes our English word martyr. You know what a martyr is? Right now, or actually a few hours ago, there were Christians who gathered on the other side of the world secretly because they don't have the freedom to worship like we do. And they recognize, as many in the early church recognized, that to become a Christian meant that I might pay for this faith with my life. My life might be taken from me. I might become a martyr. And they were still willing to be a Christian. This is what the Bible tells us John was. Now, you know what would happen to John. He'd lose his head for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would literally become a martyr. But the verse tells us that this man, John, came as a witness. We'll next week talk a little bit more about John's backstory, but here's part of it. It's recorded by Dr. Luke in chapter 1, verse 79. Here his father, Zacharias, received this message from the angel that his role, John the Baptist's role, would be to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so here John understood what his role was as the forerunner, and that was to be a witness of the light so that others might believe and follow that light. So can I ask you a question? Don't answer it out loud. When was the last time you had an opportunity to give a witness? That's why we're here. That's why we're left. We're left to be witnesses, to give a witness. And if it's been a while, you might want to pray that God would help you this week to be open and sensitive to the opportunities that He always provides for us to be a witness and to talk about Jesus Christ. But I want to come down to verse 9 as we finish what John's role is. And I want to talk about verse 9 because a lot of people are confused about John 1:9. It says, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." How are we to understand this verse? What does it mean that Jesus Christ as the light is the light to every man coming into the world? Now, there are some who have interpreted this verse to say and mean that this is human conscience, that Jesus Christ gives human conscience to every person. Well, the problem with that interpretation is that it would basically mean that no one had a human conscience before Jesus Christ showed up. And we all know that that's not true. Conscience actually was one of the first requirements that God gave to Adam and Eve in the garden, and to Cain and Abel, and to Noah, and to many others. They were held according to their conscience. So we know that that's not a good, reliable translation. Notice also the word choice. We believe in a verbal plenary scripture. Every word is important. I want you to look at the verse with me. Notice, first of all, the preposition to, or you might have a translation that takes the preposition on. It's the same translation. It's not in. There are those who interpret this verse as, I'll read it for you this way. That was the true light which gives light in every man coming into the world. There are those who interpret it that way. The conclusion would be that if Christ is the light in every man, and you might hear some people preach this, that in every person there is a little spark of goodness, that there is a little light of God in every person, and that light just needs to be fanned because Christ died. He died for the whole world, and everybody's already saved. This is what they will preach, that Christ died for everybody. Everybody's already saved. Christ died for everybody. Everybody's already saved. Our job is just to tell people they're already saved. They don't know it yet. That is a misinterpretation of John 1:9. Though many people might preach that, that's not what the Bible teaches. How are we to understand John 1:9? Simple. You can't come out of the darkness into the light except by Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He is the only way out of darkness. We cannot save ourselves. Only Christ can bring us to God. And he goes on to then say, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Once again, John does not want to get away from the point that Jesus is God. And so he throws another one in there. He's part of he made everything. He's one of the he's part of the creation. He wasn't made by God. He is God. And so the world was made through him. And notice this, the world didn't know who he was. He came to his own. He showed up to his own Jewish people. He was the Messiah promised by the Old Testament. And his own did not receive him. Do you know the majority of people that were on the planet when Jesus showed up the first time rejected him? They didn't accept him. If we're going by the numbers alone, the majority was wrong. Don't think the majority is always right. The majority was wrong. By the way, you and God make a majority. And so he came into his own did not receive him. But, verse 12 tells us, we don't have to die in our sin. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? We don't have to die in our sin. We've been born in sin, but we don't have to die in our sin because verse 12 tells us, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, there are some who would teach verse 12 means that to receive Jesus means that you take communion. You take of the bread, you drink of the cup, you receive Jesus. And that by receiving of Jesus, you're saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. Because it says right here, receiving is believing. You can take as much bread and cup as you want, but if you don't believe that you're a sinner and that Christ died for you and that he's the only way of salvation, that receiving is just going to maybe fill your stomach for a short time. That's all it's going to do. But John tells us here that believing is receiving and receiving is believing, that they are one and the same. And that when we believe and receive on Jesus Christ, we at that moment become a child of God. And he tells us then in verse 13, who were born not of blood, that's how we came into the world. Later on, he's going to talk about this as a being born again. But right now, he says, you were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. By the way, folks, it wasn't your desire. It wasn't your will. It wasn't your plan. You're not going to heaven because Christ died for your sin because you were smart enough to trust him as your Savior. It wasn't your choice. It was God's choice. And we'll find that in the gospel. Nor of the will of man, but of God. It's all of God. We only come to Christ through God, through his work. And so this morning, you might be here and you need to come out of darkness. You're living in darkness. You're thinking in darkness. Darkness permeates your whole way of being. Jesus says, come out of darkness and come to me. I call you to Christ this morning. I call you to believe on Jesus Christ because faith has two sides. There is the repentance side and there is the believe side. I turn away from my own way, my way of darkness, my way of thinking, and I follow Christ. Christ is the only one that can bring us out of darkness. And we can follow him just like John did, the baptizer. He followed Jesus as a witness, and we can be led by the light. You know what's powerful about a light? The Bible tells us that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I want you to think with me for a moment or two about a light and the power that is in a light. The light guides us. And so many times we are in situations and we don't know what to do, and we come to the Word of God and it guides us, for it is light. Jesus is light and he leads us. It is also comforting. We gather around a funeral or a difficult situation, a challenge, and we need comfort. And Jesus and his word comforts us. Sometimes the light convicts us. It shows us we're not standing in the right place. We're not thinking the right things. But light does something else. I don't know how many of you remember Bob and Betty Tapper. Bob Tapper was a retired pastor who was sitting right here in the front row one Sunday morning in this service. And the Lord called him home. He died right in church. His wife, Betty, was a dear, sweet lady. And she told me one time, as I was talking about light, she said, you know something that's interesting about light? Everybody talks about light and that it guides and that it often convicts and that it comforts. But light is also warm. Light is something that draws people together and makes them feel warm. And she said, sometimes we don't think about that as Christians and as witnesses, that we need to be warm, that we need to be welcoming, that we need to be the kind of people that draw others to Jesus, not pushing people off. So I encourage you this morning, if you have not come to Christ, you can right now. You can call upon him and he will save you. And that if you have come to him, follow him. Follow him. He is the light. And the darkness will continue to pass away, and you will live in the light that is in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, how grateful we are that you have shown us who you are through the light of the world, Jesus Christ. We are thankful for John the Baptizer's witness, and we have so much more to learn from him. But for now, may our focus be upon Jesus. May our thoughts be upon him. And I pray that if there's one here who would say, I do not know Christ, I need to know him, I pray that you will draw them to yourself through the power of the light that is in Christ. And I pray, Father, that if there's a believer here who would say, it's been quite a while since I've had an opportunity to give a witness, may you, Lord, guide them by your Spirit to be responsive to the promptings that you provide by your Spirit to give them an opportunity this week to give a witness, a warm, comforting, guiding witness of the light of Jesus Christ. And may our thoughts and directions always be to Jesus with our focus upon him, we pray. In our Savior's name, amen.